Well, I'm going back to the Song of Ascents because as I saw it as Christians, so there's nothing really greater than to learn under the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ and to grow in our knowledge of Him. That is the goal of Christian discipleship. And so to grow in the Lord and to overcome every day, to overcome our weaknesses, to overcome our fears, and to grow in the knowledge of the Lord and in godliness and in love and kindness and in all the fruits of the Holy Spirit to be multiplied in our lives as we take the Word of God seriously and apply it in our lives. And that is why if you are ascending and you have traveled like 5 steps, like 15 stairs, so every step matters, isn't it? So you cannot just go, like in Cairo, they got like buildings that have no elevators and other places, I believe. You see, so if you are just going up, you see, and sometimes you have to stop to take your breath a little bit. And then you look back, you say, oh, I have traveled 10 already, just left for 5 only left. You see, and after that you go and you arrive. And the Lord's desire is for us, whatever lesson we have learned, we are to take it seriously because it is so helpful. It trains us in God. It trains us in our work. It trains our muscles to fight, good fight of faith as good soldiers. And especially when we started with Psalm 120. And this psalm particularly was the desire of a believer as they were going to the temple. Their only desire is that they are going to overcome this issue. The issue of living among really people who were hurting them with bad words, hard words. You see, that's why Psalm 110, I call on the Lord in my distress. And He answered me, save me, O Lord, from lying lips, as you heard me. You see, so his desire is to be saved from these problems. You see, those who are causing him troubles. And also, you have heard me say, even the troubles of his lips also, like Isaiah, he was he in the presence of the Lord, he saw that he was a man of unclean lips. And then the Lord really touched his lips. And when we are in the presence of the Lord, He does things for us even as we are sitting here. That is His nature. So I always say, when you come to church and you are sitting here, the Lord is at work even right now. He moved by His Holy Spirit to change you. Because it's by faith, isn't it? You don't see it changing you, but there is a transformation that is taking place. So that is how we grow. It is all by faith and by His grace through the means that He provides. So this is the desire of a person who wouldn't want to be in one place, isn't it? He wanted to be changed. And so we have seen this and in the Psalm 1. And also he was living among people with unclean lips. And then he said, he has been for too long, verse 6, too long have I lived among those who hate peace. So he needed God to deliver him to move away from those circles. And then the Lord wants us all to be willing to move from places of doubts and struggles and failures to even in our relationship with the Lord to walk closely with Him and to know Him and to have the freedom of the children of God. This and then it's not too hard because we don't have to try harder, but the Lord does it, isn't it? The second one is a person whose eyes are fixed on the Lord. Shall I lift up my eyes to the hills from where my help comes from? No, my help comes from the Lord. As he is just watching as the pilgrims, they go to Jerusalem and they see the mountains around them. And then because the people of their time, they were thinking like their help may come from the mountains. And so here the helps come from the Lord. And the Lord who watches over them because they would travel distances. And as they travel distances also, they go through really hard places. Sometimes they have to stop and sleep in the deserts or in the jungles with predators and also robbers and so forth. And then they will say, like, he who watches over you will not slumber. You see, that is faith. You see, the trust. And we need this today also, isn't it? We live in a very troubled world. This is verse 3 of chapter 121 of Psalm. Yeah, so indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Even as you sleep, he will not sleep. He watches over us. This is what God wants us to believe of him. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to know. Those are my sheep, know my voice. And no one can snatch them from my hand. That is why it is very important that we take all these songs of ascent together as a book that we hold to closely in our days. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit would not want us to study these psalms in a time like this. The Lord watches over you. Over you, not the next person. Over you, personally. The Lord watches over you. You are so dear to him. He loves you. He's your heavenly Father. And so forth. So the third one was like, the blessings of being in the company of those who love the Lord Jesus Christ. The believers, what a blessing to be among those who love the Lord. I rejoice with those who say to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. The people who will be a blessing to your life, and you will be also a blessing to them. Because the Lord in his wisdom, he would call people from different directions, from different countries, from different nations, and put them together in a place because he want to build you up in that way as a witness for God. And so the blessings of the brethren, the blessings of being in the company of those who know the Lord is something you should never take for granted. And you say, how do I choose people to walk the faith together? It is not your business. The Lord will choose those he will put next to you, and also he will take you to the people he wants you to be part of their journey. And that is why this Psalter, he was rejoicing as for the blessings of being in the company of those who trust the Lord Jesus Christ wholeheartedly. And you heard me last time when I was saying it, and I said it in a very strong word. I said, it can be very disappointing if you are in a place where you don't feel the blessings of the brethren, or you don't feel you are not a blessing to them in your praise and your affections, godly affections, and your desire for them to be blessed and to grow and to multiply and to expand and to receive all the kinds of the blessings for such a godliness is desire. Because that is the desire of Christ, isn't it? He didn't want us to be in hell. He left the splendor of heaven and he suffered as he was teaching about the kingdom and ultimately dying on the cross of Calvary, so that we will not be in place of humiliation, but we will be brought out and live a righteous life through his grace and through his love and through his mercy. And so why would you not celebrate the fact that you are in the company of those who honor God and those who love Jesus Christ in sincerity? Those who are living a holy life, that will affect your life as well. And you heard me also saying, you don't just want only people who will just say sweet things like Isaiah 30 to you. You also want those people who will warn you, say this is a dangerous path to walk. It's not compatible with faith, the Christian faith. Hallelujah. So we can hold fast to this. And so, and the Psalter went on to speak a lot of, about a lot of other things. And then the number four, 1, 2, 3, and number four, 123. Again, the eyes that are looking to the Lord. The eyes that are looking to the Lord, fix on the Lord. And where you receive help and deliverance, not on the people, not on the problems. And that is why I lift up my eyes to you whose throne is in heaven, the God of heavens. And so he is encouraging himself just only to look to God. And then he gave us this metaphors of eyes on the hands. As the eyes of his slaves look to the hands of their master. You see, so just for the focus, the masters, you know, the slaves, when they stand at the service of their master, so all that they were doing, they were so focused, looking at their hands, the gestures of their hands. And so that is how they were focused. Every gesture is big of what they want to do. And so we look to the Lord for directions. We look to the Lord and only the Lord to show us what to do and to speak to us and to encourage us. And so as a slave would look to the hand of their master, really for direction, so for the what the message you want. We always spend a lot of time, Lord, please show me the way. What do you want me to do? Well, now, which country in which I should live? What kind of service I could render? And so as you have looked closely to how he would speak to you. And especially we need this as Christians because we need to train ourselves to have the discernment to know what the Lord would want us to do. It's so important because that is what's happened. And so the problem might be that we are not fixing our eyes on the Lord. So that is why we are missing his gestures. We are missing his directions. We are missing his voice because we are not diligent like the servants and are like those maidens, as the eyes of the maid servant look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he shows us his mercy. And the mercy in the Hebrew language is tenderness, kindness of God. And so crying out for his kindness, for he is a kind God. You see, he will surprise you, he will meet you as you have that devotion and that attitude. And as a, even though there might be contempt and then the arrogance might be doing things like that, but the Lord saves. Now, we come to Psalm 124. And the Psalm 124 is connected to the Psalm 123, especially the last verse. We have endured much ridicule from the proud, much contempt from the arrogant. And so the people of Israel were talking about real events which took place in their lives. And then they will give a testimony of the goodness of God in Psalm 124, isn't it? We have endured much ridicule from the proud, from the big armies who were enslaving us, taking us to exile, intimidating us to wipe us out from the surface of the earth. And I give you examples. You know, in our evening service, we are going through the Second Kings, and we have been studying the life of Hezekiah. Hezekiah is the king, and his people, they were facing really hard things. The king of Assyria marching against them to wipe them out, even send them letters of intimidations to discourage them to put their trust in God and to tell them that the fact that we have invaded all the powerful nations, who are you? The gods of those nations didn't save them. We have conquered everyone and you will not escape. Sennacherib really came and he did all this ridiculing. And he was intimidating God's people. But the Lord really came and saved them. Because he took all the letters of intimidations, he took them before the Lord in the temple. He said, see what the king of Assyria is doing to us. Oh, Lord our God, please save us. And Hezekiah prayed, and I shared the praise of Hezekiah. Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. Sometimes we spread our problem before people. We don't spread them before God. And then, you know, he called upon the Lord. You have made heaven and the earth. You are the El Elyon. That is 2 Kings chapter 19. Give ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Listen to the word Sennacherib has sent to insult the living God. You see, so they were insulted. They were having hard times, and they were promised to be wiped out. But God moved, and God said, look, that is not going to take place. I am going to rescue you. I am going to rescue you. And actually, Sennacherib went back. The Lord really turned them away. They heard other news, and he went into the temple of his gods, and he had his two sons came and killed him. The one who was intimidating of wiping out God's people, now God dealt with him. And so this might be, and this is the nature of Satan, and that is part of my message to us today. The nature of Satan, he will intimidate you, say, you will not make it, especially for those who want to serve the Lord. So what are you doing? See, it's insignificant. The enemy loves to ridicule God's people. Because he's proud, the arrogance of the enemy, he loves ridiculing God's people. I'll give you another example. Nehemiah chapter 4. When Nehemiah was moving to build the wall of Jerusalem, when the Lord moved him and gave him his strength, but the enemies there, they were ridiculing them. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, what are those feeble Jews doing? What are you doing? And he went on to say, will you restore the wall of Jerusalem which were broken? Because they were taking advantage of people. They were raiding people. They were just taking their own things. But if this wall is raised and is built, they will have no access to the livelihoods of the people of Israel. And that is why he was just so angry. And he said, will you finish in a day? Can you bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burn as they are? Tobiah, the Ammonites, who was at his side, said, what they are building, even if even a fox climbed up on it, he would break down the wall of the stones. And so the enemy does that always, that you will not go an inch. What you are doing is insignificant to God. You see? But what does the Bible say? The heaven rejoices over repentance of a sinner, isn't it? And everything that brings joy to God's heart, to our heavenly fathers, we should invest everything on. These parts I love so much. You know, First Timothy? When he said, like, first of all, when you come to church and pray for those in position of authority, isn't it? Supplication and praise. Why? Because it's pleasing to God. And so we are called, as we are called, to love him because he's our God. Also, he desires to be pleased. Why would we want to rob our God of this opportunity to rejoice over his creation, over the people he has blessed, and he has called himself and dignified? And they are not going to condemnation. They are going to have life and life eternal to be before the throne of God for grace. Because these people have noticed that to live independently with our own intelligence and our own resources is hell. But if we acknowledge that we are sinners and we are destined for hell, if we do not repent of our sins and come to Christ, but in His grace, those of us who have come to know Him, we should desire to give Him all the glory and every moment that God might be pleased. We should do that. So these enemies of God, they always ridicule God's people. And this is one of the snares they used, whether they come in big armies to destroy or even to intimidate and cause you to lose heart and depart from the service of your God, even like to give up altogether, living a holy life. Even as a single person, I was a single person for a long time. And I had seen the hand of the Lord. And I believe those who are in the same position, they are seeing His hand as well. Because it is not by might, not by power, but by His Holy Spirit. Isn't it? And that is His power, that is His grace and mercy. El Elyon, who is able to do anything. Think that beyond the minds of modern man and modern woman. That is why this psalm is connected to these things, the ridicules of these things. And that is why they could give a testimony. And today my question for you, can you look back and you say, and to say and say, if the Lord had not been on our side. Actually, I didn't like this translation. And forgive me, I'm not against this translation. But the right translation, as I looked at it in my Hebrews and Arabic Bible, with Semitics, it should be translated in this way. What did I write down? If it was not the Lord who was for us, that is much more accurate. Because when you were going through all these struggles and ridicules, He is El Elyon. He is seeing every single thing you are going through. And He is for you. And that is why they could look back. That was what really Nehemiah said. When they were being ridiculed, they said, the God of heavens, the El Elyon, will give us a success and we will succeed in spite of all your intimidation and belittling and opposition. That is why he could say, if it was not the Lord who was for us. Because that is our God. He is for us because He loves us so much. And that's why I didn't like the way we're on our side. You see, He is the God who is for us. And so this is written by King David. And also King David wrote it a long time before Hezekiah and also Nehemiah, isn't it? But through the Holy Spirit of God, through the divine sovereignty of our God, He wrote this psalm so that those who will go through troubles and things like this, the ridicule and the arrogance of those who are of God, will turn to this psalm. Because when he was fighting the Edomites in Psalm 60, that is why he did this. He wrote this, and later on, that was what he was doing. It's not you, O God, you who have rejected us and no longer go out with our armies. Give us aid against the enemies, for the help of man is worthless. With God, we will gain victory, and He will trample down our enemies. That is David. And then he could say, he looked back and he said, yes, the Lord gave him victories, isn't it? And then he could say, if it was not the Lord who was for us. And then what did he say? He said, not only him, isn't it? He said, let God's people. Do you have that testimony? Can you look back and say, if it was not the Lord Jesus Christ, I would have been a sinner now. I would have been like, maybe addicted to hard things. Maybe I will be lost. I would be a sinner. Or lost my mind. committed suicide. You know, a lot of people who have committed suicide, they are people who have no hope, isn't it? Because they look to themselves and they see their situation, it's no remedy, no rescue. But for those who have a God, the El Elyon, the God of heaven and earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, there is hope. So that they look back, they say, it was not the Lord Jesus Christ. I would have lost my mind. I would have lost my equilibrium. I would have lost sense of dignity and the purposes for which God has made me so unique, isn't it? And so that is why he could say, not only him, but God, all God's will. Let Israel say, you see, that this is for every believer who has put their trust in the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ can say that. That is why he says, I lift up, if the Lord had not been, the Lord was not for us. When men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. And so now here, big animals, the picture. Because you know, like the word of God is rooted in like metaphors. You see, these animals, they're devouring people alive. That means like even they don't have to kill you anyway to have you as a meal. Just quickly, you finished. So that is why he uses this language. When their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. You see, just like that, quick, you are weak before these predators. So you are weak before these mighty powers that are trying to... He uses also another metaphor, the flood. Isn't it? When the flood comes like it sweeps out, you see any living thing, isn't it? People swiped out, see, taken in torrents. And so this is the picture he's using. If it was not the Lord, the flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. And because the Lord has delivered, has saved, he could stop and praise, isn't it? And so that is the reason we praise God, isn't it? We look back to his hand. Praise the Lord, verse 6. Praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. That is a rejoicing, isn't it? Are you rejoicing? Why people are just always, we talked about the lack of joy, the lack of celebrating God. Just maybe we have not experienced his hand. So that you look back and say, if it was not the Lord who was for us. You see, and to count the blessing that the Lord has brought on your life. So you praise him and praise him and praise him. And that is why for believers, you praise him before even you enter into a battle. You praise him because you know that is what he will do. He is El Elyon. He has promised you that he will not give you up to the desire of your enemies. And so he praises. And so the psalters, as they are going to, as pilgrims, they stop when they recount the blessing of the graces of God. And so they do that. And then now he said, we have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The title, isn't it? There are many traps. But the birds, it speaks of weakness, isn't it? Birds. A bird before many, because actually it's plural, isn't it? Out of the fowlers are many in my other translation. So many hunters. So this is really trying to hunt just this weak bird. But this weak bird in the hand of God can escape. You see, not because he is strong, because the El Elyon of God enables him to escape the snares of Satan, the trap, you see, and that which the enemy desires to use to bring you down and to destroy you. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. And that is what is for you. So whatever problems you have, if you have this faith in the Lord, you will escape like a bird. You will escape like a bird. And you know the bird even uses like two sparrows for one coin. And then sometimes, like it has no value. Sometimes they just put it like an addition. You just extra. You just take it. You see? And yet, the Lord says, even like a bird like that has a price so precious to God. And so, we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the El Elyon. You put our trust. Fix your eyes on the Lord. Trust him. Can you? Do you have a testimony? You can look back. And even if you didn't have, I invite you today, if you have not experienced the forgiveness of Christ, the Lord, you need to give your life fully to him. If you have not trusted him to this extent, today is your day, so that you will escape the snares of Satan. You know the snares we talk about, even in our day-to-day, there are many, isn't it? Just to finish with, just look at 1 Timothy 6, verse 9. Just to finish with, even I don't have to explain it. Those who want to be rich fall into temptations and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. You see? And so this is one aspect of the things that the enemy is using today to destroy people. Why we have big industries like gamblings. Why governments are just like legislating prostitutions. Why all these sorts of things. Why people like today, like even a few weeks, there was debates like to for the government to come with laws to really slow down on the gamblings advertisements or advertisements. Why? Because the enemy uses this kind of trap, really, and to destroy and to ruin people's lives. How many kids and older people who have been addicted to alcohol, and the wine industry is just flourishing. All sorts of drugs. Why people are engaging in businesses of drugs? Killing themselves and destroying other people. So the snares of Satan are many. But what is needed of us is our eyes on the Lord and to trust him fully. Even in our weakness, like birds, we shall escape and we shall survive. And to praise him and to worship him and to rejoice in his presence. For we can say for sure, this, we have escaped like a bird. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. And they will always be broken because the El Elyon is our God and the Lord Jesus Christ is reigning. Let us pray. God, our Father, we pray that you help us. The word rolls easily from our lips, but Lord God, you take them by your Holy Spirit and plant them in our hearts, that we may emerge as those whom you have truly blessed and delivered and set apart further for you. Father in heaven, please have mercy upon us, we pray. Enable us to fix our eyes on you, Lord, and to walk with you closely. Strengthen our feeble knees. Strengthen our will to love you and to live wholeheartedly for you in devotion and in service. Father in heaven, give us faith that we may truly overcome, even though we may feel at times, or most of the time, as like a bird that is so weak and small in the face of the challenges that we face. But you are our God. Please bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.